and dressed him toward Sir Marhaus on foot. And Sir Marhaus saw that, and pulled out his sword, and began to come to Sir Gawain on horseback. Page 146. "Sir Knight," said Sir Gawain, "alight on foot, or else I will slay thy horse." "Gramercy," said Sir Marhaus, "of your gentleness, ye teach me courtesy, for it is not for one knight to be on foot, and the other on horseback." And therewith Sir Marhaus set his spear against a tree, and alit, and tied his horse to a tree, and dressed his shield, and either came on unto other eagerly, and smote together with their swords, that their shields flew in cantels, and they bruised asterisk. The asterisk reads, bruised is shattered. Return to text. Shattered their helms and their hauberks, and wounded either other. But Sir Gawain, from it past nine of the clock, waxed ever stronger and stronger, for then it came to the hour of noon, and thrice his might was increased. And all this espied Sir Marhaus, and had great wonder how he might increased, and so they wounded other passing sore. And then when it was past noon, and when it drew toward evensong, Sir Gawain's strength feebled, and waxed passing faint at an uneath's. He might endure any longer, and Sir Marhaus was then bigger and bigger. "Sir Knight," said Sir Marhaus, "I have well felt that ye are a passing good knight, and a marvelous man of might as ever I felt any, while it lasteth, and our quarrels are not great, and therefore it were pity to do you hurt, for I feel ye are passing feeble." "Ah," said Sir Gawain, "gentle knight, ye say the word that I should say." And therewith they took off their helms, and either kissed other, and there they swore together either to love other as brethren. And Sir Marhaus prayed Sir Gawain to lodge with him that night, and so they took their horses and rode towards Sir Marhaus's house. And as they rode by the way, "Sir knight," said Sir Gawain, "I have marveled that so valiant a man as ye be loved no ladies, nay, damosels." Page 147. "Sir," said Sir Marhaus, "they name me wrongfully, those that gave me that name, but well I wot it be the damosels of the turret that so name me, and other such as they. Be now shall I tell you for what cause I hate them, for they be sorceresses and enchanters, many of them, and be a knight never so good of his body and full of prowess as man may be, they will make him a stark coward to have better of him, and this is the principal cause that I hate them. And to all good ladies and gentlewomen I owe my service as a knight ought to do." As the book rehearseth in French, there were many knights that overmatched Sir Gawain, for all these thrice might that he had Sir Lancelot de Lake, Sir Tristan, Sir Bors de Ganis, Sir Percival, Sir Pelias, and Sir Marhaus. These six knights had the better of Sir Gawain. Then within a little while they came to Sir Marhaus's place, which was in a little priory, and there they alit, and ladies and damosels unarmed them, and they hastily looked to their hurts, for they were all three hurt, and so they had all three good lodging with Sir Marhaus and good cheer, for when he wist that they were King Arthur's sisters' sons, he made them all the cheer that lay in his power, and so they sojourned there a sevennight, and were well eased of their wounds, and at last departed. "Now," said Sir Marhaus, "we will not depart so lightly, for I will bring you through the forest, and rode day by day well as 7 days, or they found any adventure." At the last they came into a great forest that was named the country and forest of Arroy, and the country of strange adventures. "In this country," said Sir Marhaus, "came never knight since it was christened, but he found strange adventure." And so they rode and came into a deep valley full of stones, and thereby they saw a fair stream of water. Above thereby was the head of a stream, a fair fountain, and three damosels sitting thereby. And then they rode to them, and either saluted other, and the eldest had a garland of gold about her head, and she was 80 winter of age or more, and her hair was white under the garland. Page 148. The second damosel was of 30 winter of age, with a circlet of gold about her head, and the third damosel was but 15 year of age, and a garland of flowers about her head. And when these knights had so beheld them, they asked them the cause why they sat at that fountain. "We be here," said the damosels, "for this cause, if we may see any errant knights to teach them unto strange adventures, and ye be three knights that seeken adventures, and we be three damosels, and therefore each one of you must choose one of us, and when ye have done so, we will lead you unto three highways, and there each of you shall choose a way, and his damosel with him. And this day, 12th month, ye must meet here again, and God send you your lives, and thereto ye must plight your troth." "This is well," said Sir Marhaus. Chapter 19. How Sir Marhaus, Sir Gawain, and Sir Uwain met the damosels, and each of them took one. "Now shall each of us choose a damosels. I shall tell you," said Sir Uwain. "I am the youngest and most weakest of you both. Therefore I will have the eldest damosel, for she hath seen much, and can best help me when I have need, for I have most need of help of you both." "Now," said Sir Marhaus, "I will have the damosel of 30 winter age, for she falleth best to me." "Well," said Sir Gawain, "I thank you, for ye have left me the youngest and the fairest, and she is most levest to me." Then every damosel took her knight by the reins of his bridle, and brought him to the three ways, and there was their oath made to meet at the fountain that day 12th month, and they were living, and so they kissed and departed, and every each knight set his lady behind him, and Sir Uwain took the way that lay west, and Sir Marhaus took the way that lay south, and Sir Gawain took the way that lay north. Page 149. "Now will we begin at Sir Gawain that held the way, till that he came unto a fair manor, where they dwelled an old knight and a good householder. And there Sir Gawain asked the knight if he knew any adventures in that country. 'I shall show you some to morn,' said the knight, 'and that marvelous.' And so on the morn they rode into the forest of adventures, till they came to a lawnd, and thereby they found a cross, and as they stood and hoved, there came by them the fairest knight and the seemliest man ever they saw, making the greatest dole that ever man made. And then he was ware of Sir Gawain, and saluted him, and prayed God to send him much worship. 'As to that,' said Sir Gawain, 'gramercy. Also I pray to God that he send you honor and worship.' 'Ah,' said the knight, 'I may lay that aside, for sorrow and shame cometh to me after worship.'" Chapter 20. How a knight and a dwarf strove for a lady. And therewith he passed unto the one side of the lawnd, and on the other side saw Sir Gawain 10 knights that hoved still and made note one, then ready with their shields and spears against that one knight, and then came by Sir Gawain. Then this one knight adventured a great spear, and one of the 10 knights encountered with him, but this woeful knight smote him so hard that he fell over his horse's tail. So this same dolorous knight served them all, that at the least way he smote down horse and man, and all he did with one spear. And so when they were all 10 on foot, they went to that one knight, and he stood stone still, and suffered them to pull him down off his horse, and bound him hand and foot, and tied him under the horse's belly, and so led him with them. Page 150. "O Jesu," said Sir Gawain, "this is a doleful sight to see the yonder knight so to be entreated, and it seemeth by the knight that he suffereth them to bind him so, for he maketh no resistance." "No," said his host, "that is truth, for, and he would, they all were too weak so to do him." "Sir," said the damosel unto Sir Gawain, "meseemeth it were your worship to help that dolorous knight, for methinketh he is one of the best knights that ever I saw." "I would do for him," said Sir Gawain, "but it seemeth he will have no help." "Then," said the damosel, "methinketh ye have no lust." Asterisk reads, "Lust is a wish." Return to text. "No lust to help him." And thus as they talked, they saw a knight on the other side of the lawnd, all arms save the head. And on the other side there came a dwarf on horseback, all arms save the head, with a great mouth and a short nose. And when the dwarf came nigh, he said, "Where is the lady should meet us here?" And therewithal she came forth out of the wood. And then they began to strive for the lady, for the knight said he would have her, and the dwarf said he would have her. Will we do well? Said the dwarf. Yonder is a knight at the cross. Let us put it both upon him, and as he deemeth, so shall it be. I will well, said the knight. And so they went all three unto Sir Gawain, and told him wherefore they strove. Well, sirs, said he, will ye put the matter in my hand? Yea, they said both. Now, damosel, said Gawain, ye shall stand betwixt them both, and whither ye list better to go to, he shall have you. And when she was set between them both, she left the knight and went to the dwarf. And the dwarf took her and went his way singing, and the knight went his way with great mourning. Page 151. And then came there are two knights, all armed, and cried on high, Sir Gawain, knight of King Arthur's, make thee ready in all haste, and joust with me. And so they ran together, that either fell down, and then on foot they drew their swords, and did full actually. The meanwhile the other knight went to the damosel, and asked her why she abode with a knight, and if ye would abide with me, I will be your faithful knight. And with you will I be, cried the damosel, for with Sir Gawain I may not find in mine heart to be with him, for now here was one knight, scumfit means defeated. Return to text. And ten knights, scumfit, ten knights, and at the last he was cowardly led away, and therefore let us two go whilst they fight. And Sir Gawain fought with that other knight long, but at the last they accorded both. And then the knight prayed Sir Gawain to lodge with him that night. So as Sir Gawain went with his knight, he asked him, what knight is he in that country that smote down the ten knights? For when he had done so manfully, he suffered from to bind him hand and foot, and so they led him away. Ah, said the knight, that is the best knight, I trow. Asterisk after tro, and tro means to believe. Return to text. I trow in the world, and the most man of prowess, and he hath been served so as he was even more than ten times, and his name hight Sir Pelleas, and he loveth a great lady in the country, and her name is Etard. And so when he loved her, there was cried in this country a great joust 3 days, and all the knights of this country were there, and the gentlewomen, and who had proved him the best knight, should have a passing good sword, and a circlet of gold, and the circlet the knight should give it to the fairest lady that was at the jousts. And this knight, Sir Pelleas, was the best knight there was there. And there were 500 knights, but there was never man that ever Sir Pelleas met withal, but he struck him down, or else from his horse, and every day of 3 days he struck down 20 knights. Therefore they gave him the prize, and therewithal he went thereas the Lady Etard was, and gave her the circlet, and said openly she was the fairest lady that there was, and there that would he prove upon any knight that would say nay. Page 152. Chapter 21. How King Pelleas suffered himself to be taken prisoner because he would have a sight of his lady, and how Sir Gawain promised him for to get to him the love of his lady. And so he chose her for his sovereign lady, and never to love other but her. But she was so proud that she had scorn of him, and said that she would never love him, though he would die for her. And wherefore all ladies and gentlewomen had scorn of her, that she was so proud, for there were fairer than she, and there was none that was there but, and Sir Pelleas would have proffered them love, they would have loved him for his noble prowess. And so this knight promised the Lady Etard to follow her into this country, and never to leave her till she loved him. And thus he is here the most part nigh her, and lodged by a priory, and every week she sendeth knights to fight with him, and when he hath put them to the worst, then will he suffer them wilfully to take him prisoner, because he would have a sight of this lady, and always she doth him great despite, for sometimes she maketh her knights to tie him to his horse's tail, and some to bind him under the horse's belly, and thus in the most shamefulest wise she can think he is brought to her. her, and all she doth it for to cause him to leave this country, and to leave his loving, but all this cannot make him to leave, for he would have fought on foot. He might have had the better of the 10 knights, as well on foot as on horseback." "Alas," said Sir Gawain, "it is a great pity of him, and after this night I will seek him tomorrow in this forest to do him all the help I can." So on the morn Sir Gawain took his leave of his horse and Sir Carados and rode into the forest, and the last he met with Sir Pelleas, making great moan out of measure. So each of them saluted other and asked,